Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
And we're going to see how Jesus provides, and I would invite you right now to find the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. Go to Matthew and turn left. You'll run into it in just a moment. And then mesh that with this little piece of paper entitled, Like Zephaniah, Receive God's Resource. And the ultimate resource is Jesus. So come with me now to the book of Zephaniah. We'll focus on chapter 3, verse 14, as we continue this series on heroes. And you'll find here in Zephaniah 3, especially verse 17, a pearl of a promise from God's heart to yours. As a matter of fact, this has always been for many years, 40 years, one of my key Bible promises. It's the declaration that the Lord your God is in your midst. Who is he? He is a mighty warrior who gives you victory. He will renew you in his love, and he will rejoice over you with gladness. That's been one of my navigation coordinates for the Christian life. That's what God thinks about me and you. He loves us beyond anything we can imagine. I would almost call it a GPS coordinate. Maybe you need to get back on God's track today. Maybe you don't feel as close to the Lord as you used to feel. Well, you can take this coordinate and program it into your spirit. And do you know how these GPSs work? The other day I was trying to find someone who had visited our church, and I'd programmed it in. I said, Siri, find me that address. And Siri was taking me to the right place, and I got distracted, and I turned left when I was supposed to turn right. And all of a sudden, Siri comes back on and says, recalibrating the route, recalibrating the route. You know how it does. And if you'll listen, Siri will get you there. So I made a couple of correct turns, and I was back on track. Maybe that's your picture today. Maybe you've gotten off of God's track. It could be that today is God's moment. This is God's message for you. And the reason you want to be on God's track is this, fill in the blank, because your Heavenly Father offers abundant supply, limitless resource. That's what God has for you. And that's good news that he offers abundant supply, especially if you are feeling defeated and dry. Your spirit is just dried out. I heard about a husband and wife. They were having a conversation. The husband was looking at the full-length mirror, and his wife was observing, and he said, oh, honey, will you love me when I am old, fat, grumpy, and gray? She said, I do. Well, maybe your chief encourager is not that encouraging. And so this could be very, very helpful for you to recalibrate your spirit, because listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 7, verse 38, he who believes in me, from his innermost being shall flow rivers, not a tiny trickle, not a small stream, but there shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, God's abundant, refreshing supply. So here's what I want you to do today, afresh and anew, reclaim his promise. Find refreshment and recalibration. And for your defeat, let's find victory today, because the Lord is a warrior who gives you victory. A little bit of background on Zephaniah. His name means one whom God hides and protects. He's the last of the minor prophets, writing about 625 B.C. during the reign of Josiah the king. He has an interesting word. It's a word of blistering judgment. It's a call to sincere repentance of God's people. And then it is flavored with hope. Oh, this beautiful hope of future restoration, and especially verse 17, is like a ray of sunshine after a long winter's day. Well, let's come now to the scripture, chapter 3, verse 14. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away his judgment against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. In that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp, because the Lord your God is in your midst. He is a mighty warrior who gives victory. He will exult over you with joy. He will renew you in his love, and he will rejoice over you with gladness. Let's pray for a moment. Dear Father, oh, thank you for this precious opportunity to realign our lives with yours. Thank you for this chance to listen to your voice and recalibrate our route so that we can be back on your track. Lord, get me out of the way so that your Spirit can take your transforming truth and deposit it into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Well, I want you to see this promise, this precious promise, like a four-faceted diamond that you can put in your spiritual pocket in your heart and carry with you. Here's the first thing that I would underline. The first facet of God's abundant resource is God's peace. Would you make that note? God's peace. The scripture tells us that in verse 15, this great truth, the Lord has taken away judgment. He has cleared away your enemies. You will fear disaster no more. Maybe some of you are here today and there's an icy grip of fear over your spirit. Maybe you feel alone, inadequate, defeated, overwhelmed. I think we can all feel that way. When my wonderful daughter, our youngest child, Alex, that was just a little girl, we would try to train her up in the Lord and give her chores to do, and she was always clever in her responses. And one time Mary Ruth gave her some jobs to do, and she just looked back at Mary Ruth. She put her little hands on her hips, and she just said, Mama, when you tell me to do stuff, I just feel whelmed over. So that grafted itself into our family vocabulary. Sometimes when we got too long of a list to do, we'll just say, man, I'm whelmed over right here. I'm stressed out. I don't know that we can get all this stuff done. Anybody in that category today? Maybe you got a bad medical report. You feel whelmed over. Maybe you've got a child that's wandered out of the boundaries and has gone prodigal on you. I bet you feel whelmed over. Maybe you've got more month than money. I bet you feel whelmed over. You see, there are a lot of experiences in life that can make us feel inadequate, like we can't do it. And especially those inadequacies are multiplied if we feel like we're fighting the battle alone. I would have you understand that you are not alone. And that's the source of God's peace, because God is with you. He is here to help you. Fella put it like this the other day. He said, you know, sometimes, Jay, I feel like that duck that I see out at the Shakespeare Park. You know those little ducks, they swim on the water, and on the outside they look all calm. But if you look just below the surface, they got their little feet just churning away, churning away. He said, that's me. Yeah, I know, I kind of look like I got it together on the outside, but on the inside, I'm that duck. I'm just churning away, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, when the icy hand of fear grips your heart, this is good news, because God says you don't have to fear. Look at it again in verse 16. Do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not be afraid, Jay. Because God is saying, I've got this. It's in Mark chapter 4 when the disciples were in the boat. It was night. They were on the Sea of Galilee. And they were in a storm. They looked in the bow of the boat, and there was Jesus sound asleep. Now, the reason the disciples were often in a storm on the Sea of Galilee, it's because of its geographical location. The Sea of Galilee is not very large. It's 9 miles by 13 miles. It's only 150 feet deep, so it's kind of shallow, and that's why the waves can kick up fast. It's surrounded by mountains, so it's almost in a bowl. At the end of the bowl flows out the Jordan River. But when a wind will come through the mountains, it's almost like a wind tunnel effect. And when it hits the Sea of Galilee, it can kick up huge waves that are 8 and 10 feet tall in just moments. So here are the disciples. It's pitch black midnight, and this storm comes up, and these seasoned seamen think that they're getting ready to perish because the boat is about to capsize due to the size of the waves. The water is splashing on their face. It is black as midnight, and they don't know what to do. And suddenly they realize in the middle of the storm that Jesus is just sound asleep. And they awaken him. They connect Jesus to their problem. And in just a moment, Jesus arises, and he does what only he can do. He calms the storm. And he moves those disciples from fear to faith. And maybe there's a lot of fear in your life right now. Listen to me. Listen to what Jesus is saying. He's in your boat. You're not alone. And he is saying, my child, peace, be still. We've got this. On your outline, I would suggest that you recalibrate like this. Use Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I memorized this scripture probably 40 years ago, and I cannot tell you how many times it's become my touchstone. You see, that's Paul speaking from prison, not from a palace. And he says, even in the prison, I can have God's peace. Why? Because I am going to determine the mental setting of my mind. He says, don't worry about anything. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, through prayer and thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So reset the dial. Let's come to number two. Following God's peace, we have God's presence. That's the second facet of this invaluable promise. You see, this is God's resource, his presence. Look at verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. Our God is not far away. He is not distant and uncaring. He is as near as your heartbeat. He's as near as your breath. You see, God is with us. You're not alone. Paul Tarnier, the famous Swiss Christian psychiatrist, put it like this. He said, the worst feeling for a human being is the feeling of being alone, forgotten, and abandoned. That'll take you down to the emotional cellar if you feel alone, forgotten, and abandoned. Now, we've all had a flirtation with that feeling. Chuck Kelly, the pastor who then became the president of the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, was with us last week. He preached in his pulpit. He spoke to our Alabama Baptist Pastors Conference, and he told the most fabulous story about prison work that's going on through the New Orleans Seminary. And he told particularly about a work going on in a women's prison, and specifically about the story of a woman named Abby. Abby was a rebel to the core. She turned her back on everybody. She did terrible things, and she landed in prison. And there she felt abandoned and forgotten. So she told one of her fellow prison inmates that she wanted a tattoo right on her forearm, as big as she could make it, and she wanted the word put there, and the word would be forgotten, because nobody cared about Abby. Well, she wrote F-O-R-G, and then time was up. They ran out of time. They had to go to chow. Then the night came, and somebody invited Abby, this hard-hearted young woman, to go to a service conducted by a New Orleans seminary student. And at that service, Abby heard the gospel that she was loved and cared about, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ that night. And do you know what she did? She had the completion of her tattoo, not as forgotten, but as forgiven. You see, Abby's heart was changed, and it began to change her attitude and everything about her. That's what the Lord does. When he enters your life, he begins this process of his presence. Remember this, when you give your life to the Lord gives his life to you. Now, that's the best change there is. That's the best trade there is. When you give your life to the Lord, what happens? He gives his life to you. That's why you can make a valid exchange of your fear for his peace. You can make a valid exchange of your defeat for his victory. because he gives his life to you. That's what happens when you invite him into your life. My favorite word in all of the Christmas vocabulary is Emmanuel. Because what does Emmanuel mean? When the angel said, and she'll have a baby, name him Emmanuel, what does that mean? God with us. Not God distant or far away, but God near and here, loving and caring for us. That's the essence of Christianity. You are not alone. God loves you, and he is with you. You see, the scripture says in John chapter 10, Jesus speaking, he said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me, they follow me, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. What a promise, what a picture. It's saying God's got his grip on you. It's amplified in Hebrews 13:5, and there we learn that God will never leave us nor forsake us. But you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how I've turned my back on the Lord. Makes no difference. If you're his child, he's got his grip on you. He will never throw you away. And that's good news, isn't it? That his presence is always going to be there for you. I remember a family trip that we had a few years ago. We've always tried to do bonding family trips, and we had traveled out west. We were in Utah at the Bryce Canyon National Park. All the kids were excited about going to explore, and Alex was 5 years old. And Alex was a very live wire. I mean, very live wire. And so I was just thinking, okay, these are steep, dangerous trails. I'd already done a little reconnaissance. And some of the trails only had a rope for a guardrail, a single rope, and it was a drop of 200 to 300 to 500 feet. I mean, straight down. So I was thinking, I'm not sure we're going to do this. But then I summoned my courage and I said, I will be Alex's personal bodyguard. So I grabbed that girl by her hand. I positioned myself between her and the edge, and that's how we walked through. You see, protective present dad would be between Alex and danger. And you see, that's how our Heavenly Father operates. He is with you. He will take care of you. That's what the scripture says. The Bible tells us that he, look again on your worksheet in John 14:6. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That's what the Lord does on our behalf. You see, God is the creator, that's the Father. God is the redeemer, that's the Son. But God, who is ever present sustaining us, that's the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus promised in John 14, that we would never be abandoned. He would never allow us to be on our own. And that's the core of the good news, friends. And furthermore, when Jesus is with you, he protects you. You've got that sense of your Heavenly Father is that warrior who takes care of his kids. Just one more quick family story. When I was a little kid, I was thinking about this because I grew up in the home of a very protective father. My dad was a picture of a father from Texas who would take care of his kids. I was one of five kids, and we liked to travel. Well, on one amazing trip, we went out to see Disneyland in California. My dad had a green pickup truck, and we had a little camper that was placed on the back of it, and off we went on this family adventure. It was 1968. I'm 11 years old. We get out to Disney, and somehow we didn't have a GPS, and we got lost. And it came to be nighttime, and Dad was frustrated, so he just pulled over in a strip mall in Riverside, California. I remember it was like it was yesterday. So we were getting ready to go to bed, thinking, well, in the sunlight, we can find Disneyland. No doubt we can find it. We're lost. But we're just about to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, there's a knock at our little door. We think, okay, who is that? So, of course, Dad gets up to answer it, and it's two policemen. These policemen are standing right there, and one of them very politely says, sir, I noticed that you've got Texas tags. You're obviously from out of town. You don't realize this is a really rough neighborhood. We've just had some riots around here. It's been a tough time around California, and this is not the best time to be staying in this neighborhood. So there was a little closet right beside the butane stove, and my dad reaches in. He pulls out a 12-gauge shotgun. And Dad just says, well, sir, I got a 12-gauge shotgun here with double-aught buckshot. I think we'll be okay. The guy said, yes, sir, it's really nice to meet you. Y'all rest well. We'll see you. Now, I always slept well when my dad was present. My dad probably didn't deliver God's grace, but he would be really powerful on God's judgment if you kind of got in our way. You wouldn't want to fool with him. That's the point. I slept well that night and in my father's house. Now, friends, here's the point. If God is present, fear is absent because you know you're secure in his embrace of grace. So practice his presence. Henry Blackaby calls us to be God conscious. Look for God every day, everywhere, and everyone. Train your eyes to do Hebrews 12. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he is there. Detect his presence. And number three, then find his provision. Verse 17 says, he is a victorious warrior. You know what that means? You're on the winning side. Let me put it in non-Baptist terms. If you were a poker player, you're holding a royal flush. That's an unbeatable hand. That's what you got in the Lord. He is the resurrected Savior. He has all authority in his hands. And he wants to be your provider. The Apostle Paul said it beautifully, even from a prison cell in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He'll provide for you. I read a wonderful story about a woman named Becky. She was a strong Christ follower, but had a bunch of medical problems and got behind on her house payments. And she got foreclosed on, didn't have any family resources, and they were going to sell her house at auction on a Saturday. So Becky went to find out who was going to get the house. She'd been in it for 15 years. It was breaking her heart to lose it. She struck up a conversation with the woman that was there at the auction, and they got to talking, and Becky said, yeah, it's a great house. I raised my two boys here, and it's been a great place. I'm sure going to miss it, but I know God's going to take care of me. Well, the auction started, and in just a few moments, this woman that Becky met, she won the bid. And this woman came up to Becky after winning the bid, and she said, Becky, I came to this auction to buy a house for my son. But God whispered to my heart and told me that you need that house more than my son does. So I'm going to give you the deed to this place, clear and free. Now, sometimes God shows up and he provides in a radical way. And I'm actually very, very familiar with that. I've got Exhibit A in my family and Catherine Wolfe sitting right here. Catherine was dead. The doctor gave her a 1% chance to wake up. And yet God stepped in and he provided more than we could think, ask, or imagine. He not only raised her up, but God is using Jason and Catherine all over this nation to speak a word of witness for him, that he is a God of might and miracles and provision. You're a living illustration of that. We saw it one day when I got a call that said the kids were heading out to Andy Birchfield's place. They're in the van, 14 of them. They were on I-85 around Victory Land, and a tire blew, and that van, it flipped 3 times. My daughters, Mary Austin and Alex, they were right behind the van. They called me on the cell phone and said, Dad, you're not going to believe this. The van is wrecked. It's upside down. There are kids on the asphalt. What do you think my mind conjured in that moment? How many people hit the asphalt at 60 miles per hour on the interstate and live to tell about it? It's a scene of carnage. My heart stopped. But what do we have access to in a moment like that? We have access to the throne room of God. So I just gave it to the Lord. I had a funeral I had to go do. And as the story developed, you know what happened? Not one of those boys died. Did you know that 3 minutes before that accident, the southbound highway on I-85 saw a tractor trailer jackknife and closed it down? And one of our boys, Hollis Cooner, he was thrown out of the van, and he would have been thrown into the southbound oncoming traffic, but there was none. Because 3 minutes before, a wreck shut it down. That's an interesting coincidence, isn't it? Or is that a God incidence where God absolutely says, Satan, you got a plan, but I'm intervening. because I'm your provider. God, I am a warrior who gives you victory. So if you're here today, dry and defeated, depleted, I got good news for you. Our God is a warrior king, and you can trade right now your defeat for his victory. You don't have to be a victim, because in Christ, you are a victor. He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And what's more, he even renews you in his love. Nothing can separate you from the provision of his unstoppable, unbreakable, unconditional love. Write down Romans 8, read it, memorize it, and live out of it. There's nothing on this planet that can separate you from his love. And then lastly, God's praise. I'll make this final note, God's praise. Look at verse 17 again. This is amazing. He will rejoice over you with gladness. This simply means that you have the capacity to bring God great joy. Now, wait a minute. How does that work, Jay? I mean, I can make God joyous? That's what it says. I will rejoice over you with gladness. Always see your relationship to the Lord through the lens of a parent-child. Okay, I have four kids. And Mary Ruth and I have tried to teach our four kids that we have some expectations for them. We call it okra. Let's eat okra together. Kids, you're supposed to obey, cooperate, respect, and appreciate. O-C-R-A. And if you'll obey, cooperate, respect, and appreciate, God will bless that. God wants you to be a Jesus person. And when we would observe our children obeying, doing what we were telling them to do, cooperating, respecting, expressing gratitude and appreciation, oh man, what would that make your daddy's heart feel like? It would soar with joy like a helium balloon because they were obeying the instructions. They were being Jesus kids. Now that's how God sees you. When you understand that God has a divine design and a special purpose for your life, when you obey him, what do you think God does? He says, attaboy. Go get him, Brad. Go get him, Will. Go get him, Melanie. That's my boy. That's my girl. Look at him obeying and serving and going against the grain of this corrosive, corrupt culture. And instead of being takers, being givers, go. Isn't that what happened when Jesus was baptized? When Jesus submitted to the authority of the Father's purpose and he was baptized, what happened? The Bible says they heard a voice like thunder from heaven. You know what it really was? It was the applause of heaven. It was God saying, that is my beloved son. That's my boy in whom I'm well pleased. And my friend, my precious friend, when you obey the Father's instructions, when you are a person like Jesus of love, purity, and serving, you bring his heart joy. Well, here's the bottom line. Would you make a final note? You see, it all comes together here. The final note is it all comes with Jesus. It all comes with Jesus. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says that all of these abundant resources become yours. And you can exchange your defeat for victory. Why? Because thanks be to God who gives us the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your living word. May it do its work right now and draw people into a sweet, intimate, forever fellowship relationship with you. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.